May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 176. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name, let all our powers agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. Hymn 176.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word, two portions. Firstly, Job chapter 23, and then the 139th Psalm. The book of Job, chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." And now Psalm 139. The 139th Psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Most gracious and most merciful Lord God, oh, we pray for thy divine help and thy divine anointing as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray to be under the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, may thy Spirit, dear Lord, rule our spirit, that we may have the mind and the Spirit of Christ in us. Lord, that we may be humbled at thy feet, given that true, broken and a contrite heart to approach unto thee. Lord, we've nothing to bring of ourselves, and said our very best is stained and dyed with sin, our all is nothing worth. But oh, we would come, pleading the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus. That name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. And O Lord, we come as a poor, needy sinner. We would plead with the Dear publican, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, how we need thy mercy. Oh, we pray that thou wilt breathe pardon and peace into our souls. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. Oh, may we ever be at thy dear feet in humble confession, in humble repentance, pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus and to be made white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, do grant us each that real religion that thou art the author of and the finisher of. Oh, that we may be found in that narrow way which leads up to life, and few there be that find it. Lord, we pray for the quickening of thy spirit. We so often have to plead with the psalmist, quicken me, O God. Make my soul to live, and I shall praise thee. And oh, that we may be among thy living family, amongst those that truly seek thee in sincerity and in truth, amongst those, Lord, that thou art working in and working for them. Lord, how we need thee to work in us and work for us. We have to prove, Lord, that all our own works are but vain. But oh, may we be ever leaning hard upon thee and dependent upon thee for all things. Oh, Lord, we do pray for thy rich blessing upon that which we have read together. Oh, may we know the realities of thy sacred word as we read them, Lord. We may truly know the sweet experiences of those that have gone before recorded in thy word. And that we may be true seekers of the living God of Israel. O Lord, we pray thou wilt speak to our souls this night. For thou hast said, my sheep, hear my voice. And oh, that we might have that ear to hear what thou wilt speak. Lord, may thy word be applied to us with divine power. May thy precious word live in us, and may we live in the word. And O Lord, do make us diligent in seeking thee and in serving thee. Ever keep us from lukewarmness and coldness, Lord, and deadness and unexercised day. Knowest how prone we are to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Oh, do keep us, Lord, by thy mighty power. Do keep us from all the dangers and snares there are in the journey. The many things Satan would put in the way to trip the sinner up. And oh, do keep us, Lord, looking unto thee. Grant us that singleness of eye, the eye of faith, that we may be ever looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we mourn because of our unbelief. We pray thou would increase our faith and take away all the unbelief there is in us. That unbelief that is so sure to err, and scan thy work in vain. We pray for heavenly wisdom that we might be made wise unto salvation. Thou knowest our foolishness, and Lord, and our ignorance, and oh, that we may be amongst those ever seeking like Solomon did for wisdom and for a gracious understanding. And, oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember the cases of thy dear people. Thou knowest, Lord, all they stand in need of tonight, we know not, but thou knowest. And, oh, do come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. May those in deep need have their need supplied. And those that are cast down, Lord, may they be lifted up. Those that are tried and tempest-tossed, oh, deliver them from the tempter's power and from the trial. And may they in thy time come forth as gold. Help those, Lord, that are walking through many crooked things. May they have that faith to believe that thou wilt fulfil thy sweet promise. For thou didst say, I will make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. And Lord, thou hast all power to. We pray in these dark days thou wilt manifest thy power. There may be yet many born again. Oh, do come, Lord, and awaken many sinners round this sanctuary to come and fill the place, around our own flock too, and throughout Zion. There may be yet a blessed building up of precious souls, Lord, those thou hast eternally loved and eternally saved. And oh, do set at liberty, we pray, those in bondage. Many are bound, Lord, by sin and by Satan, by unbelief, by many enemies. But Lord, we pray thou wilt loose thy people. Oh, that thou wilt speak that precious word thou didst say concerning Lazarus. Loose him and let him go. May there be many loosed in these solemn days and set at liberty. Lord, we pray that we might know more and more of thy love in our poor souls, that we might love thee in return. Oh, do come near, Lord, and fill thy children with thy love. One said, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. May the love of Christ constrain others here and in our own flock and throughout Zion, Lord, to follow thee, to show the world whom they love and whom they serve. Lord, do remove all the hindrances. Thou knowest how many hindrances thy people have. But oh, may they be brought where Abraham's servant was, to say, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Lord, do add to the church here precious souls, if it would please thee. May there yet be those constrained by the love of Christ to venture while there's room. Lord, we pray for those that are afflicted. Thou wilt make their beds in those afflictions and sanctify all these afflictions to them. And Lord, do send that healing if it's thy will, those restoring mercies. Remember those that are bereaved, we pray thou wilt comfort them and grant them a visit from thyself, Lord, in all their losses. And do sanctify these losses to Zion. And may they be a voice to us each to be prepared for that great day. For Lord, we know not what a day or a moment or an hour will bring forth. But oh, may we be ever on our watchtowers, watching and praying. We seek that thou wilt be with our dear aged friends and able to gather in thy courts as in former days. Thou wilt visit them where they are in their homes and help those that lovingly care for thy aged people and grant them wisdom and strength, Lord, and patience. For thou knowest what each one needs. And O Lord, may it please thee to help thy dear servants and bless their labours. And may thy gospel through them be crowned with success. And remember all those that of thy servants are in advanced age and much weakness. And Lord, there are those unable to minister as in former days. Do visit them in these their declining days. And may they, when that time comes for their departure, hear thee say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do bless this house of prayer and the dear young ones that gather here. Oh, do work in them mightily thy grace and thy fear. And do bless the Sabbath school, and may those precious truths set forth there abide in the hearts of the young. Oh, do help them in all their studies at school, at college or university. Lord, we pray for those that labour in work. Thou would undertake and help them each day to look to thee and to cast all their concerns and burdens at thy feet. And oh, do bless the young, Lord, with God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. And provide, we pray for them, all that they need. May they ever be as the psalmist, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And Lord, we pray for the deacons here, thou wilt give them wisdom and grace, and bless the hymns that they give out, and help them in the reading services and all the burden and weight and responsibilities they have. Oh, do remember Zion at large, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem if it would please thee. And may there once again be a day of real reviving in these solemn dark days. In mercy, look upon us nationally, Lord. Open the blind eyes of our leaders and rulers. Bring them, we pray, if it's thy will, to fear thy holy name and to seek thy face for the affairs of this land and too for their own souls. May we yet see thy hand appearing and working both in our royal household and in our leaders in government and in the established church too, Lord. May we yet see thy wondrous work manifested. Oh Lord, the powers, Lord, ever keep us looking unto thee. And remember all thy persecuted ones and those in war and trouble, and those displaced, Lord, in these many conflicts. We pray thou wilt sanctify all these things, that many may yet fear thy holy name. We would praise thee for all thy goodness to us, thy many mercies, thy favours. For Lord, we are unworthy of the least of thy mercy and of thy truth. We would pray for a heart to love and praise thee more. To anoint one now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May the dear friends lose sight of this poor man and see no man save Jesus only. And do come and apply thy word, that it may be life and power to thy dear people. And may thy precious name be glorified, and our poor souls be profited. Empty, send us not away. Pardon what we've uttered amiss, all our many sins. Accept us in the Beloved. We would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint and die. Hymn 1068.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 10. The book of Job, chapter 23 and the 10th verse. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. This text is found in this very sacred 23rd chapter of the book of Job. In it are so many precious things that are to be experienced by every one of God's dear children. And dear Job could speak them from the inmost parts of his heart, because he knew them personally. And we would venture this evening with this 10th verse. It's rested upon me now for a day or two, but he knoweth. Those first few words, but he knoweth. And there is two sides I would just bring it before you in. First of all, there's the searching side of it. And that is, the Lord knows all our sins, all our failings, all the wretchedness of our hearts, and what poor, vile sinners we are. And so often that will bring the child of God to much searching of heart, realizing that the all-seeing eye of the Lord sees us, as the hymn writer said, when we see not him. Over the door in the schoolroom at the Dicker, it's got those words written right across it, Thou God seest me. And you know, over the years there have been many children that have trembled as they've read those words. So there's this searching side to this, but too there is the blessed side of comfort and encouragement to God's dear children. But before we look at that side, let us just pursue this a little further. You think of David when Nathan came to him and said, Thou art the man. Oh, David trembled as he saw the all-seeing eye looking upon him in all his sin. You know what it is to tremble before the majesty of heaven, realizing the Lord sees those sins that no man sees. Man may look at the outward sins that are visible, but God looketh at the heart, and he sees those sins that no man sees that are within us. He knows, you see, because he sees us through and through. One of the old, dear old men used to pray, Lord, thou seest me inside out. And you know, that sometimes will make us very concerned about our standing before the God of heaven. And you think of Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, The dear man trembled, didn't he, before the majesty of heaven, as the all-seeing eye of the Lord looked upon him, persecuting the church of God, hating the name of Jesus. It's a wonderful thing when God makes a sinner to tremble, because they then will have to look to him for mercy. The publican felt it as he looked within his own heart, didn't he? He saw the Lord seeing him exactly as he was. You see, before the Lord, nothing is hid. It's all revealed exactly as it is. We may put on a good outward appearance. We may many times deceive others, but we'll never deceive the Lord. So Job knew what it was to tremble before the majesty of heaven, but he says, but he knoweth. And then there's the other side, isn't it? And that was a sweet comfort to me when the text came, and may it be so to each of us tonight. He knows exactly what you need and I need tonight without us even uttering a word. And that's a very sweet thing to feel, isn't it? The Lord knoweth. But what I want to bring before you is, in the first instance, is the prayers that go forth throughout God's word. There were those that had to say this, weren't they? O Lord, thou knowest. And there may be that tonight, though you look in your own heart and you tremble because of all the sin within you, and the sin of your past life, yet the comfort is this: the Lord knows how you feel, and he knows the need there is within you of his love, his mercy, his goodness. And sometimes all you can pray is, O Lord, thou knowest. It may be in some certain matter tonight that you're in, while the Lord's given me this word, that's all you seem to be able to pray. Let me remind you of two occasions in the Word of God where this was uttered before the God of heaven. Firstly, in Ezekiel, where he was sent by God to the Valley of Dry Bones. And you think of that searching question: can these bones live? It looked an impossibility, didn't it? But it wasn't impossible with Ezekiel's God. And oh, how the dear man had to say, didn't he? O Lord, thou knowest. And you see, the Lord knew the concern of Ezekiel, and he knows the inward concern of each of your hearts and mine tonight. Whenever I quote those words, I think of a dear lady many, many years ago, the late Mrs. Gurney at Ashwell. She had a little baby that was stillborn. And it was, of course, in those days, a tremendous shock to her. This perfect little babe and no life in it. And she said to me, she said, you know, all I could say before the Lord was, O Lord, thou knowest, thou knowest. And she said, that came right out of my heart. O Lord, thou knowest. You see, the Lord knew the barrenness of Hannah. He knew. She didn't have to tell him. But he knew all she needed as she went up to the house of God, didn't she? She knew her barrenness. He knew the adversary that was continually provoking her. And he knew the darkness that she was in her soul. And he knew how to appear for her, didn't he? And it may be this evening in your providential pathway, or in your relationships, or in the family, or in the Church of God, in your exercises. It may be all you can say before the God of heaven is, O Lord, thou knowest, thou knowest. And we think of dear John in the Revelation. The second case I would name was when the dear man saw those arrayed in white. And he said, who are they and whence comest thou? Who are these arrayed in white? And what did the dear man have to say before the God of heaven? Oh Lord, thou knowest. And what did the Lord answer him? These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh Lord, thou knowest. And the Lord knows where every one of his dear children are tonight. Oh, he does. Where it's the backside of the desert, the busy streets of the cities, he knows where his dear children are. And he knows exactly what they're in. And may that be of sweet comfort to you tonight. Oh Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. And he knows exactly how to appear for you, like he did to Ezekiel, like he did to Elijah under the juniper tree. How he did for Elijah on Mount Carmel when all the worshippers of Baal were great. Oh Lord, thou knowest. Now I don't know why I named that tonight, but you see, that has rested upon me much concerning this service. But he knoweth. Dear Job was referring to his God, how the Lord knew exactly what he was in at this time. And think of what he was in. He'd suffered so much loss, hadn't he? Of his livelihood, his cattle, his herds. And then he suffered so much loss in his family with his loved ones being taken. And then he'd known what it was in his own body to be afflicted from head to foot with boils. And then all the temptations in his soul. But he has to come to this, but he knows. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. And the Lord did know the way that he took. And what an example, really, we find in dear Job. How he feared God and eschewed evil. And how steadfast Job was in it all. But he knoweth the way that I take. But I want to look at it in another way as we may be helped. You think of dear Simon Peter. John chapter 21, we find the Lord speaking to dear Peter. And he puts to him a very searching question. We read, he saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? What a question that is, isn't it? How would you answer it tonight, and how would I? The Lord knows those that truly love him. It's one thing to say we do, but it's another thing to know in our hearts we truly do love him. And he puts Peter to the test three times in this matter. And what did Peter say the first two times? Thou knowest that I, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord did know how Peter loved him. But you see, Peter had denied his Lord and Master previous to this in that judgment hall. And the Lord was putting him to the test. And then the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. You see, Peter had to come to that third point, third time. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love them. And then the Lord, of course, said to him twice, didn't he? Feed my sheep. And then that first time he said, feed my lambs. Now look in your heart and mind this evening. You may profess you love the Lord, but how real is it? May we exercise our hearts tonight. How real is that love? I remember preaching on that sacred theme once at Ashwell. And there was a dear lady there that was visiting the chapel, and as I preach, you know, the Lord had was exercising her concern in joining the church where she normally attended, but she was there that day. And in that exercise, she was so concerned that her prayers were real, that her love to the Lord was real. And the Lord so blessed her, you know, as I preach from those words, lovest thou me? And we close the service with that beautiful hymn, Do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. And I remember her saying to me some time afterwards, she said, you know, I could sing that from the very depths of my heart, knowing that the Lord knew that love that was in me because he'd given it to me. Now, look in your heart and mind tonight. Do we really love him? He says, if ye. He put this to his dear disciples. If ye love me, keep my commandments. a searching word, really, isn't it? And yet it's a blessed word to those that truly love the Lord. If ye love me. He knew they loved him. But solemnly, of course, there was one among them that was to betray him. Judas never knew, and the Lord knew it from the beginning, who it was that should betray him, and he knew that Judas, though professingly he declared his love, and yet in reality knew nothing of it at all. But he knoweth, and he knows tonight, poor soul, how you mourn because your love is cold and faint. He knows the times on your pillow at night when you say, Lord, but my love, and I mourn because of it, is so cold, so faint. Do manifest thy love more and more to me. And now he knows too exactly how you feel, child of God. The real feelings of your heart. And your feelings toward him, the dear Redeemer. And he knew with Job exactly what was going on in Job's heart. His friends didn't know. They were poor counselors in many ways. But the Lord knew. And he knows how to support you, poor soul, when you feel to be sinking. And he knows how to hold you up when you fear you're going to sink in despair. And he knows how many times you need comforting. And he knows how you feel the need of his pardoning love within. And how you need the application of his precious blood. But he knoweth. I cannot get away from these first three words, you see. But he knoweth. And what comfort there is to a real seeking child of God in this. He knows. And he knows those of you that are tempted. What do we sing in the hymn? Touched with a sympathy within, he knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. But he knoweth. And he knows those times when you feel barren and destitute. It's a good prayer in the psalm, you know, isn't it? I hope it's my prayer every day. Leave not my soul destitute. You so fear that you'll be left destitute of real vital things. And all that you need to know for your soul, for time and for eternity. Leave not my soul destitute. But I won't leave it there. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And the Lord knows if that's your sincere desire tonight. And when you feel you can't pray, and I seek to be led into this, when you feel you cannot pray, you go to him with those words I uttered just now, O Lord, thou knowest. You've heard me say, no doubt before, that many years ago, dear Mr. William Gadsby, the hymn writer and faithful servant of God at Manchester, he was asked to go to chair a prayer meeting in London at the old Gower Street Chapel. And it was a prayer meeting that was attended by ever so many. And he called upon a dear man to pray. And the dear man didn't get up. And he waited, Mr. Gadsby did, a few minutes. And he asked him again. And eventually the dear man struggled to his feet. And he said this, "Lord, thou knowest I would pray if I could," and sat down. Dear Mr. Gadsby said, "Friends, that's the best prayer I've ever heard, because it came out of an honest heart before God." You see, the Lord knew how that dear man felt. You know, there are times we feel we cannot pray. We say it to our shame, because Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Dear Mr. Frank Gosden used to say, he said, "Friends, if we are honest, we faint more than we pray. We're so often fainting, aren't we?" But oh, you think the reality of it, the need of the Lord to teach us how to pray. Oh Lord, thou knowest how I need teaching. Thou knowest how poor my prayers are. Thou knowest how empty I am. But oh, we've got to look to him, you see. The hymn writer, and it's a very sacred verse really, isn't it? "Pour not on thyself too long." And the Lord knows how many times we do pour on ourselves, don't we? Trouble comes, affliction comes, distress comes, trials in providence, trials in grace. And we're soon pouring on ourselves and fainting. "Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity, join with power. But he knoweth the way that I take." And he knows the way you're taking tonight, maybe in a step in providence. Maybe the way you're taking in your soul and in your pathway. He knew with Job the way that he took. Think of dear Moses when the Lord brought him out of Egypt. We read, and you can read those beautiful verses of the Apostle Paul in the 11th of Hebrews, when he speaks of the life of Moses, how he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ of far greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now you look in the life of dear Moses, the way he took. It was God's way. It was not his way. "But he knoweth," Job says, "the way that I take." It wasn't the way that was easy for the flesh, was it? It was God's way, choosing rather to suffer affliction, just as Moses did. It was the way that Ruth took, to go with Naomi, to go with his dear people. "He knoweth the way that I take." Well, much further could be said on this. I'll just add one thing. We read in the 139th Psalm, didn't we, those beautiful verses, and I don't wish to spend time, though we could preach the whole sermon tonight, on those words. "But he knoweth What did the dear psalmist David say? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And if I may just inject this, child of God, he knows you better than you know yourself and me. We may think we know ourselves. Peter thought he knew himself. Let me prove it to you. He said to the Lord Jesus that he would follow him whithersoever he went, even unto death. But what did the Saviour say to Peter? Simon, Simon, son of Joe, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You see, Peter thought he would follow the Lord, but the Lord said to him. And he knew before the cock crew, the Lord knew that Peter would deny him. He said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And you know, when that cock crew, the Lord, he didn't say anything to Peter. He just looked at him. And that look, you know, went right home into the heart of Peter. He remembered what the Lord had said. It was a look of divine conviction. It was a look of love, a look of mercy, and a look of compassion upon dear Peter. He knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. And he does with you and with me. And what does the psalmist say? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings. Oh, you think of those down sittings you may have had today, or through the past week, or through the past year. Those low places you come into. Thou knowest my down sittings. And mine uprisings, and thou understandest my thought afar off. You see, he understands all your thoughts. You may not be able to understand them sometimes, but he does. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high I cannot attain unto it. And then he speaks this. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me. Job had a good religion. A real religion. That God was the author of. And the finisher of. But Job had to go into the fire with it. He had to be tried. God will try his own people and he'll prove his own work. He'll try his own work. And that, you know, which God has given you will stand the fire. That which is of us, you see, one of the purposes of the trial with dear Job was to burn up the rubbish in him. Oh, it was. There's a lot of rubbish in us. Oh, I say it concerning my own heart. Oh, the rubbish there is in us. All our pride, our self-righteousness, the hidden evils of our heart. Oh, the iniquity there is within. When he hath tried me. Now, just briefly, you see, gold, naturally looking at it, has to be hewn out of the earth, dug out of the earth, and it has to go in the fire. The dross must be consumed in that fire. And when does the goldsmith know that it is pure gold? It loses a lot in the furnace. It's only that real gold that is of any value. And when does he know it is the fire has done its work? It's when he can see his face in it. That goldsmith will take it out then. The fire's done his work, it's pure. And you think about it spiritually. You may say, well, we don't want to go through the trials, the fires. But do you not want a real religion when we come to die, child of God? That pure gold that Job was blessed with. He says, but he knoweth. The way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There's two precious things here, really. The first is this. We don't read concerning Job here that he says, Lord, bring me out of the fire now, out of this trial now. That's what the flesh would say. Lord, we can't stand it any longer. That's what the natural man would say. This trial. But we don't find that in Job. He says, when he hath tried me. In other words, what he was saying was, when the gold in me is pure, bring me out of it. Not before, when he hath tried me. Then I shall come forth. But he got knew he got to go right through that fire, you see. We sing in the hymn, don't we? I think it's 282, if I remember rightly. That beautiful verse. Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to his feet. Lay me low and keep me there. You think the promises the Lord gave to Job in this trial. The promises he's given you in those trying hours. Oh, we think of dear Peter. He could well write it from experience, couldn't he? Those precious words concerning the trial that he was in. He says in chapter 4 of his first epistle, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But then listen, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. And he speaks of it too in the first chapter, if I remember rightly. He says there, that the trial of your faith. Now, if you've got a grain of living faith, poor soul, that faith has got to be proved, like it was with Abraham. Abraham knew what it was to have the trial of faith. If the Lord has given you a sweet promise and given you a grain of living faith, it's got to go in the fire. It's got to be proved. And what does Peter say? And Peter could write it from experience. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, you must go through this fire, this trial. But you see, the wonderful mercy is, and just briefly before I leave it, is this. What does he say? But he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, when the fire has done its work, I shall come forth as gold. You may say, well, little me, my little faith, that sweet promise, come forth, yes. And what was there in dear Job? Faith to believe it, that God, who knew the way that he took, when he had tried him, dear Job, would come forth as gold. Oh yes, and he believed it. And may the Lord grant us a grain of that faith to believe that he will bring us forth, like he did the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They came out without even the smell of smoke upon them. He brought them forth. You see, Job knew that his God had power to bring him forth, that he might praise the Lord's blessed name. And you read that last sacred chapter in the book of Job, how the Lord did bring him forth. And he could truly praise his God, couldn't he? Oh, he could. And if this is of God tonight, the Lord will do that for you, poor soul. However small you may feel your little religion is, however small you feel your faith is, if that's of God, he'll bring you forth as gold. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pont on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood. Of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little at abides. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.